once the hedge pig find.
Hope you cry us. Tis time, tis time.
Round about the cauldron go. In the poisoned entrails throw. Toad that under cold stone days and nights has 31 sweltered venom sleeping got. Boil thou first in the charming pot.
Double, double toil and trouble.
Fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Fillet of a fenny snake in the cauldron boil and bake. Eye of newt,
toe of frog, wool of bat, a tongue of dog, adder's pork, and lightworm sting.
Lizard's leg and howlet's wing.
For a charm of powerful trouble, like a hell broth, boil and bubble.
Double, double toil and trouble.
Fire burn and cauldron bubble. Scale of dragon, tooth of wolf, witch's mummy.
Maw and gulp of the ravined salt sea shark. Root of hemlock digged in the dark.
Liver of blaspheming Jew.
Wall of goat and slips of ewe slivered in the moon's eclipse.
Nose of Turk and Tartar's lips.
Finger of birth-strangled babe, ditch delivered by a drab. Make the gruel thick and slab.
Add thereto a tiger's chaldron for the ingredients of our cauldron.
Double, double toil and trouble.
Fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Cool it with a baboon's blood. Then the charm is firm and good.
By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. Open locks, whoever knocks.
Oh, no. You secret, black and midnight hags. What is it you do?
A deed without a name.
I conjure you, about which you profess, howe'er you come to know it, answer me. Though you untie the winds and let them fight against the churches, though the yesty waves confound and swallow navigation up, though bladed corn be lodged and trees blown down, though castles topple on their warders' heads, though palaces and pyramids do slope their heads to their foundations, though the treasure of nature's germens tumble altogether, even till destruction sicken, answer me to what I ask you.
Speak. Demand.
Real answer.
Say, if thou'dst rather hear it from our mouths or from our masters.
Call them. Let me see them.
Pour in sow's blood that hath eaten her nine farrow. Grease that's sweating from the murderer's gibbet. Throw into the flame.
Come, high or low, thyself and office deftly show.
Tell me, thou unknown power.
He knows thy thought. Hear his speech, but say thou naught.
Macbeth, Macbeth, Macbeth. Beware Macduff, beware the Thane of Fife. Dismiss me, enough.
Thou hast harped my fear aright, but one word more.
He will not be commanded. Here's another, more potent than the first.
Macbeth, Macbeth, Macbeth.
Had I 3 ears, I'd hear thee.
Be bloody, bold, and resolute. Laugh to scorn the power of man, for none of woman born shall harm Macbeth.
Then live, Macduff. What need I fear of thee? But yet I'll make assurance double sure. I'll take a bond of faith thou shalt not live, that I may tell pale-hearted fear it lies, and sleep in spite of thunder. What is this that rises like the issue of a king, and wears upon his baby brow the round and top of sovereignty?
Listen, but speak not to it.
Be light-mettled, proud, and take no care who chafes, who frets, or where conspirers are. Macbeth shall never vanquished be until great Birnam Wood to high Dunsinane Hill shall come against him.
That will never be. Who can impress the forest? Bid the tree and fix his earthbound root. Sweet boatman's good. Rebellion's head rise never till the wood of Burnan rise. And our high place Macbeth shall live the lease of nature. Pay his breath to time and mortal custom. Yet my heart throbs to know one thing. Tell me, if your art can tell so much. Shall Banquo's issue ever reign in this kingdom?
Seek to know no more.
I will be satisfied. Deny me this and an eternal curse fall upon you.
Show,
show, show. Show his eyes and grieve his heart. Come like shadows, so depart.
Not too like the spirit of Banquo. Down! I crowned a seer mine eyeballs. And thy hair, thou other gold-bound brow, is like the first. The third is like the former. Filthy hags! Why do you show me this? A fourth? Starred eyes! What will the line stretch out to the crack of doom? Another yet? A seventh? I'll see no more. And yet the eighth appears, who bears a glass which shows me many more. And some I see the twofold bowls and treble scepters carry. Horrible sight! Well, now I see 'tis true. For the blood bolted Banquo smiles upon me and points at them for his. What? Is this so?
Aye, sir. All this is so.
Hour stand I accursed in the calendar.
My former speeches have but hit your thoughts, which can interpret further. Only I say things have been strangely borne. The gracious Duncan was pitied of Macbeth. Matter, he was dead. And the right valiant Banquo walked too late, whom, you may say, if it please you, Fleance killed, for Fleance fled. Men must not walk too late. Who cannot want the thought how monstrous it was for Malcolm and for Donald Bane to kill their gracious father? Damned fact! How it did grieve Macbeth. Did he not straight in pious rage the two delinquents tear that were the slaves of drink and thralls of sleep? Was not that nobly done? Aye, and wisely too, for 'twould have angered any heart alive to hear the men deny it. So that I say he has borne all things well. And I do think that had he Duncan's sons under his key, as an please heaven he shall not, they should find what 'twere to kill a father. So should Fleance. But peace. For from broad words, and because he failed his presence at the tyrant's feast, I hear Macduff lives in disgrace. Sir, can you tell where he bestows himself?
The son of Duncan, from whom this tyrant holds the due of birth, lives in the English court, and is received of the most pious Edward with such grace that the malevolence of fortune nothing takes from his high respect. Thither Macduff is gone, to pray the holy king upon his aid to wake Northumberland and warlike Seward, that by the help of these, with him above to ratify the work, we may again give to our tables meat, sleep to our knights, free from our feasts and banquets, bloody knives, do faithful homage and receive free honors. All which we pine for now. And this report hath so exasperate their king that he prepares for some attempt of war.
Sent he to Macduff?
He did. and with an absolute sir, not I. The cloudy messenger turns me his back and hums, as who should say, you rue the time that clogs me with this answer.
And that well might advise him to a caution to hold what distance his wisdom can provide. Some holy angel fly to the court of England and unfold his message ere he come, that a swift blessing may soon return to this our suffering country under a hand accursed. For you, the weird sisters.
No, my lord.
Came they not by you?
No, indeed, my lord.
Infected be the air whereon they ride, and damned all those that trust them.
I did hear the galloping of horse. Who was it came by?
'Tis two or three, my lord, that bring you word. Macduff is fled to England.
Fled to England?
Aye, my good lord.
Time. Thou anticipatest my dread exploits. From this moment, the very firstlings of my heart shall be the firstlings of my hand. And even now, to crown my thoughts with acts, be it thought and done. The castle of Macduff I will surprise, seize upon Fife, give to the edge of the sword his wife, his babes, and all unfortunate souls that trace him in his line. No boasting like a fool. This deed I'll do before this purpose cool.
What had he done to make him fly the land?
You must have patience, madam.
He had none. His flight was madness. When our actions do not, our fears do make us traitors.
You know not whether it was his wisdom or his fear.
Wisdom? To leave his wife? To leave his babes? His mansion and his titles in a place from whence himself does fly? He loves us not. He wants the natural touch. For the poor wren, the most diminutive of birds will fight. Her young ones in her nest against the owl. All is the fear, and nothing is the love. As little is the wisdom, where the flight so runs against all reason.
My dear Scout, I pray you school yourself. But for your husband, he is noble, wise, judicious, and best knows the fits of the season. I dare not speak much further. But cruel are the times when we are traitors and do not know ourselves. When we hold rumor from what we fear, yet know not what we fear, but float upon a wild and violent sea, each way and none. I take my leave of you. Shall not be long, but I'll be here again. Things at the worst will cease, or else climb upward to what they were before.
My pretty cousin, blessing upon you.
Fathered he is, and yet he's fatherless.
I am so much a fool should I stay longer. It would be my disgrace and your discomfort. I take my leave at once.
Sirrah, your father is dead. And what will you do now? How will you live?
As the birds do, Mother.
What, with worms and flies?
With what I get, I mean. And so do they.
Poor bird. Thou'lt never fear the net, nor line, the pitfall, nor the gin.
Why should I, Mother? Poor birds, they're not set for. My father is not dead, for all you're saying.
Yes, he is dead. How wilt thou do for a father?
Nay, how will you do for a husband?
Why, I can buy me 20 at any market.
Then you'll buy them to sell again.
Thou speak'st with all thy wit. And yet, if faith, 'tis wit enough for thee.
Was my father a traitor, Mother?
Aye, that he was.
What is a traitor?
Why, one that swears and lies.
And be all traitors that do so?
Every one that does so is a traitor and must be hanged.
And must they all be hanged that swear and lie?
Every one.
Who must hang them?
Why, the honest men.
Then the liars and swearers are fools. for their Elias and Suarez are now to beat the honest men and hang up them.
Now, God help thee, poor monkey. But how wilt thou do for a father?
If he were dead, you'd weep for him. If he would not, it were a good sign that I should quickly have a new father.
Poor prattler, how thou talkst!
Bless you, fair dame. I am not to you known, though in your state of honour I am perfect. I doubt some danger does approach you nearly. If you will take a homely man's advice, be not found here. Or hence with your little ones! To fright you thus, methinks I am too savage. To do worse to you were fell cruelty, which is too nigh your person. Well, heaven preserve you. I dare abide no longer.
Whither should I fly? I have done no harm. But I remember now. I'm in this earthly world, where to do harm is often laudable. To do good, sometime accounted dangerous folly. Why then, alas, do I put up that womanly defence to say, I have done no harm?
Where's your husband?
I hope in no place so unsanctified where such as thou mayst find him.
He's a traitor.
Thou liest, thou shagged villain!
Whoa! What, you ape?
Young fry of treachery.
Let us seek out some desolate shade, and there weep our sad bosoms empty.
Let us rather hold fast the mortal sword, and like good men bestride our downfallen birthdom. Each new morn, new widows howl, new orphans cry, new sorrows strike heaven on the face that it resounds as if it felt with Scotland, and yelled out like syllable of dolor.
What I believe, I'll wail. What no, believe. And what I can redress, as I shall find the time to friend, I will. What you have spoke, it may be so, perchance. This tyrant, whose sole name blisters our tongues, was once thought honest. You have loved him well. He hath not touched you yet. I am young. It's something you may deserve of him through me, and wisdom to offer up a weak, poor, innocent lamb to appease an angry god.
I am not treacherous.
But Macbeth is. A good and virtuous nature may recoil in an imperial charge. But I shall crave your pardon. That which you are, my thoughts cannot transpose. Angels are bright still, though the brightest fell. Though all things foul would wear the brows of grace, yet grace must still look so.
I have lost my hopes.
A chance even there where I did find my doubts. Why in that rawness left you wife and child? Those precious motives, those strong knots of love, without leave-taking, I pray you, let not my jealousies be your dishonors, but mine own safeties. You may be rightly just, whatever I shall think.
And bleed. Bleed. O country. Great tyranny lay thou thy basis sure, for goodness dare not check thee. Where thou thy wrongs, that title is afeard. Fare thee well, Lord. I would not be the villain that thou think'st, for the whole space that's in the tyrant's grasp, and the rich east to boot.
Be not offended. I speak not as in absolute fear of you. I think our country sinks beneath the yoke. It weeps, it bleeds, and each new day a gash is added to her wounds. I think withal there would be hands uplifted in my right. And here, from gracious England, have I offer of goodly thousands. But for all this, when I shall tread upon the tyrant's head or wear it on my sword, yet my poor country shall have more vices than it had before. More suffer, and more sundry ways than ever by him that shall succeed.
What should he be?
It is myself, I mean, in whom I know all the particulars of vice so grafted that when they shall be opened, Black Macbeth will seem as pure as snow, and the poor state esteem him as a lamb being compared with my confineless harms.
Not in the legions of horrid hell can come a devil more damned in evils to top Macbeth.
I grant him bloody. Luxurious, avaricious, false, deceitful, sudden, malicious, smacking of every sin that has a name. But there's no bottom, none, in my voluptuousness. Your wives, your daughters, your matrons, and your maids could not fill up the cistern of my lust. And my desire, all continent impediments would overbear that did oppose my will. Better Macbeth than such an one to reign.
Boundless intemperance in nature is a tyranny. It hath been done timely emptying of the happy throne and fall of many kings. But fear not yet. To take upon you what is yours, you may convey your pleasures in a spacious plenty, and yet seem cold the time you may so hoodwink. We have willing dames enough. There cannot be that vulture in you to devour so many as will to greatness dedicate themselves, finding it so inclined.
With this there grows in my most ill-composed affection such a staunchless avarice that were I king, I should cut off the nobles for their lands, desire his jewels, this other's house, and my more having would be as a source to make me hunger more, that I should forge quarrels unjust against the good and loyal, destroying them for wealth.
This avarice sticks deeper, grows with more pernicious root than summer-seeming lust, and it hath been the sword of our slain kings. Yet do not fear. Scotland hath foisons to fill up your will of your mere own. All these are portable, with other graces wait.
But I have none. The king becoming graces as justice, verity, temperance, stableness, bounty, perseverance, mercy, lowliness, devotion, patience, courage, fortitude. I have no relish of them, but abound in the division of each several crime, acting it many ways. Nay, had I power, I should pour the sweet milk of concord into hell, uproar the universal peace, confound all unity on earth.
Oh, Scotland, Scotland.
If such a one be fit to govern, speak. I am, as I have spoken.
Fit to govern? No, not to live. Oh, nation, miserable! With an untitled tyrant, bloody sceptred, when shalt thou see thy wholesome days again, since that the truest issue of thy throne by his own interdiction stands accused and does blaspheme his breed? Thy royal father was a most sainted king. The queen that bore thee, oftener upon her knees than on her feet, died every day she lived. Fare thee well. These evils that thou repeatest upon thyself have banished me from Scotland. Oh, my breast, thy hope ends here.
Macduff, This noble passion, child of integrity, hath for my soul the black scruples. Reconcile my thoughts to thy good truth and honor. Devilish Macbeth, by many of these trains, hath sought to win me into his power, and modest wisdom plucks me from over-credulous haste. But God above, deal between thee and me. For even now I put myself to thy direction and unspeak mine own detraction. Here abjure the taints and blames I laid upon myself, for strangers to my nature. I am yet unknown to woman. Never was forsworn, scarcely have coveted what was mine own. At no time broke my faith, would not betray the devil to his fellow, and delight no less in truth than life. My first false speaking was this upon myself. What I am truly is thine and my poor country's to command. Whither indeed, before thy here approach, good seaward and 10,000 warlike men already at a point were setting forth. Now, we'll together, and the chance of goodness be like our warranted quarrel. Why are you silent?
Such welcome and unwelcome things at once. 'Tis hard to reconcile.
See who comes here.
My countryman, but yet I know him not.
My ever gentle cousin, welcome hither.
I know him now. Good God, betimes remove the means that make us strangers.
Sir, amen.
Stands Scotland where it did.
Alas, poor country. Almost afraid to know itself. It cannot be called our mother, but our grave. Where nothing but who knows nothing is once seen to smile. Where sighs and groans and shrieks that rent the air are made, not marked. Where violent sorrow seems a modern ecstasy. The dead man's knell is there scarce asked for who. And good men's lives expire before the flowers in their caps, dying or ere they sicken.
Poor relation. Too nice, and yet too true.
What's the newest grief?
That of an hour's age doth hiss the speaker. Each minute teems a new one.
How does my wife?
Why, well.
And all my children?
Well, too.
The tyrant has not battered at their peace.
No, they were well at peace when I did leave them.
Be not a niggard of your speech. How goest?
When I came hither to transport the tidings which I have heavily borne, there ran a rumor of many worthy fellows that were out, which was, to my belief, witnessed the rather, for that I saw the tyrant's power afoot. Now is the time of help. Your eye in Scotland would create soldiers, make our women fight to doff their dire distresses.
Be at their comfort, we are coming thither. Gracious England hath lent us good seaward and 10,000 men, an older and a better soldier, none that Christendom gives out.
Would I could answer this comfort with the like. But I have words that would be howled out in the desert air, where hearing should not latch them.
What concern they? The general cause, or is it a sea grief due to some single breast?
No mind that's honest, but in it shares some woe. Though the main part pertains to you alone.
If it be mine, keep it not from me. Quickly, let me have it.
Let not your ears despise my tongue forever, that shall possess them with the heaviest sound that ever yet they heard.
I guess that's it.
Your castle is surprised. Your wife and babes savagely slaughtered. To relate the manner were on the quarry of these murdered deer to add the death of you.
Merciful heaven.
What man, ne'er pull your hat upon your brows, give sorrow words. The grief that does not speak whispers the o'erfraught heart and bids it break.
Children. Two.
Wife, children, servants, all that could be found.
And I must be from thence. My wife. Killed. Two.
I have said.
Be comforted. Let's make us medicines of our great revenge to cure this deadly grief.
He has no children! Oh, my pretty one. Did you say
What? Pretty chickens. And they're damned. At one fell swoop.
Disputed like a man.
I shall do so. But I must also feel it as a man. I cannot but remember. Did heaven look on and would not take their part? Sinful Macduff! They were all struck for thee. Not that I am not for their own demerits, but for mine fell slaughter on their souls. Rest them now.
Be this the whetstone of your sword. Let grief convert to anger. Oh. Blunt not the heart, enrage it.
I could play the woman with mine eyes and braggart with my tongue. But, gentle heavens! Cut short all intermission. Front to front, bring thou this fiend of Scotland and myself within my sword's length. Set him, if he escape. Heaven! Forgive him too!
This tune goes manly. Come, go we to the king. Our power is ready. Our lack is nothing but our leave. Macbeth is ripe for shaking, and the powers above put on their instruments. Receive what cheer you may. The night is long that never finds the day.